As we continue in worship, our scripture for this morning comes from the book of Joshua, the first chapter, verses 5 through 9. The words will be found on the screen. It says, "No one shall be able to stand against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not fail you or forsake you. Be strong and courageous, for you shall put this people in possession of the land that I swore to their ancestors to give them. Only be strong and very courageous. Be careful to act in accordance with all the law that my servant Moses commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, so that you may be successful wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth. You shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to act in accordance with all that is written in it. For then you shall make your way prosperous, and then you shall be successful. I hereby command you, be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened or dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." This is the word of the Lord for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Amen. Let us pray. Loving God, we give you thanks for this time together. We thank you for this opportunity to gather in this place to worship you, to eat delicious donuts and to celebrate love and to hear a word of encouragement and how we are called to be courageous. So Lord, as we meet together, may we look around, may we know that we're not alone on this journey. We thank you. It's in your holy name we pray. Amen. Well, we've been looking at this vision statement of the United Methodist Church to love boldly, serve joyfully, lead courageously. We looked at the talking about loving boldly, which means passionately loving God and like Jesus, and to embrace and include people of all ages, nations, races, genders, and walks of life. We talked about the greatest commandment, to love our God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to love our neighbor as ourself. In fact, as we walk through the doors of our sanctuary each and every Sunday morning and other times, it is written above the door, our commandment, as we enter into this place and as we leave this place, to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself. Last week, we talked about serve joyfully with a Christ-like heart and to journey alongside the most vulnerable, offering care and compassion with joy. This third part of the vision statement calls us to lead courageously. To lead courageously is about following Jesus' example by resisting and dismantling systems of evil and injustice and oppression and striving for peace, justice, and reconciliation. It invites us to embody God's dream for the world as in both individuals and as a corporate church. Lead courageously. It's not about a singular, isolated event. It's about listening to the hurts and the joys and the wisdom and the insights of the body. It's about praying honestly and frankly about the concerns of the world, about paying attention to what God pays attention to and calls us to respond to. It's about recognizing that actually we don't have to be in charge to lead well, but we lead well by practicing humility and generosity. Joshua in the scripture stands on the brink of an envisioned future. He stands alone. He was the younger leader of his mentor, Moses, who had passed away. And now Joshua is there, standing in front of a wandering people. He probably was like, "Moses, where did you go? How did you leave me here? I thought you would be with me forever." But Moses is gone. And Joshua stands alone, wondering, what is next? Probably contemplating all that is before him, what is behind him, the future ahead. And in the text that we read this morning, there's a reminder for Joshua. It reminds him that as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. says the Lord. I will not fail you or forsake you. God will be with Joshua. He was not alone. You see, courage comes from knowing that we are with God. It's an ability to act in the face of the unknown in our decisions of what needs to be done in the future. Certainly, there's a human component of courage, but our text suggests that there's another source of our courage. You see, God told him how to do it and that he would be with him. Three times in this short passage, the Lord tells Joshua to be strong and courageous. I will be with you. I will not fail you. I will not abandon you. Joshua and us are reminded that the work that lies ahead for the church is not simply our work, but it's God's work. It's God's work. And God chooses to work through us as instruments in building up the kingdom of God. We lead courageously when we acknowledge God's presence in our work. And we point to God in all that we say and all that we do, a God that sustains us. Our job to lead courageously is when we find God at work in the world, in new ways and in new arenas as we share his gospel with those who need to hear it. John Wesley, from the beginnings of the Methodist movement, set out to lead courageously, challenging the oppressive systems of his time. He sought to lift those who were marginalized through many different unjust practices. He sought that the church would be a place that people would understand that they are loved by God. And the call to courageous leadership is a call for public discipleship rooted in our Wesleyan tradition of social holiness lived out in justice-seeking ways. In fact, did you know that Mother's Day originated from some Methodist women that wanted to honor women who worked for peace and justice? It was an anti-war movement that focused on hydrating babies, ensuring sanitation, and building hospitals. The origination of Mother's Day was at the Methodist Episcopal Church in Grafton, West Virginia, because Anna Jarvis wanted to honor her mother, a member of that church. The originator of Mother's Day, Anna Jarvis, was never married or had children. She was, however, a courageous leader who was deeply committed to social justice. Here's a video that will take a little bit deeper look.
When Ann Jarvis was working to establish Mother's Day as a national event, and when her daughter picked up the mantle from her, they were not thinking about greeting cards and flowers.
Instead, the Methodist women who invented the idea in America wanted to honor mothers in a deeper way.
They were thinking about the work of women and the significant testimony that women could give about the need for peace.
Ann Reeves Jarvis organized women's clubs in the 1860s to serve suffering mothers and children.
Women came together with their sisters in their locations to respond to the needs that they could see. For Anne, she was in a coal mining part of what is now West Virginia, and she could see the needs of women and children, and she could see the effects of the economy of her day on the people that she cared for.
She started mothers' clubs, and she taught them about hydration for fevered babies, about sanitation and nutrition. Then the Civil War came along, and they put a field hospital right outside Grafton.
Ann recruited nurses for military hospitals, and after the war, formed friendship clubs to promote reconciliation.
Ann Jarvis was convinced that mothers, women, but especially mothers, had to work for peace because they could see the ravages of war in their husbands and in their sons in a way that was so focused and so clear that their voices would be powerful. And that's what's at the genesis of the current Mother's Day.
Faith was always foremost. When she was older, Ann Jarvis and her daughter Anna became members of Philadelphia's St. George's Methodist Episcopal Church.
The daughter Anna became a Sunday school teacher here at St. George's, but she's best known for the efforts she made to get Mother's Day recognized as a national observance. She and John Wanamaker, who was a famous retailer here, were the ones that got Woodrow Wilson to sign the petition.
Ann Jarvis died in 1905 before an official holiday was in place. But her daughter Anna, who was never a mother herself, stayed true to the purpose of the celebration. She envisioned Mother's Day as a time to write a personal letter to your mother, a time to send her an inexpensive carnation, a flower in which the petals hold tight like a mother's love, and a time to visit or attend church together. She later became an outspoken critic when the special day turned too commercial.
She was really aggravated at people that turned that observation into a commercial outlet. So she had a lot to say to Hallmark. She had a lot to say to the Salvation Army that started selling carnations. When she made carnations the symbol of Mother's Day, they sold for pennies, but their price soon went up to $1.50, $2 a piece because people found they could make money off of it. And her comments about Hallmark are just wonderful. She said, "How lazy can you be to buy somebody else's sentiment to hand to your mother? Like one day out of the year, sit down and tell your mother what you really think of her." And she was just furious. And I love that kind of spunk. She would have been a really interesting person to know. And I like telling the kids about her because the history of the church isn't a history of ministers. It's the people that make up the church. And I think they're such a wonderful example of that. And besides, you know, making kids think about their mothers is always a good thing to do.
Find that pretty interesting. As we talk about courageous leadership, we think of other people who we have think of today, Reverend Martin Luther King Jr., who remains a symbol of brave leadership in the civil rights movement, who pursued racial equality through nonviolent means. We think of folks like Nelson Mandela or Gandhi or Rosa Parks. Today, we think of firefighters and soldiers and law enforcement who exemplify courage through a willingness to face fear and danger to help others. But what about us, everyday people? For you see, courageous leadership isn't about grand gestures or heroic acts. Courage is not always loud or visible, but it's about faithful folks, consistent, everyday actions. It's found in people who demonstrate resilience in the face of failure, showing that setbacks are opportunities for learning and growth. It's like fostering an environment where people feel safe to voice their opinions or admit mistakes and learn from them. It's about embracing vulnerability and authenticity that creates environments of trust and resilience. Leading courageously means doing what is right even when it's hard, being brave even when we're scared, helping others when they need a leader, standing up for someone who is being hurt, and trusting that God is with you. Friends, we can lead courageously. We do it with our hands. We do it with our voices. We do it with our hearts. As we work with God to be disciples of Jesus who makes a difference in the world. Friends, God will meet us as we lead. God is with us as we strive to make a world that God desires. You see, the vision statement of the United Methodist Church to love boldly, serve joyfully, and lead courageously is not really new, but it's a reminder of who we have always been as the United Methodist Church. And one of the reasons why I love being part of this church. Friends, may the light of Jesus Christ shine in and through us so that we might all the more love boldly, serve joyfully, and lead courageously each and every day. Thanks be to God. Amen.